Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. As we pause in our study of the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 promises God's people, a better city that He has prepared. We haven't gotten to that verse in Hebrews 11, but that better city is described in Isaiah chapter 11. It is just merely a coincidence that I mentioned Hebrews 11 about the city. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 11. One of the earliest prayers, if not the earliest prayer, of the Lord Jesus, of the early church for the Lord Jesus, was expressed in two words. Many Christians know about it. You've heard it. It is Aramaic and only two words. Maranatha. That simply means, Lord, come. That was the earliest prayer. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, closed the book of Revelation with this: Behold, I am coming quickly. And John responded with that two-word prayer, the earliest prayer of the early church, Lord, come. You cannot listen to the news or watch current events without being appalled at what goes on in this world. Researchers have estimated that in the 20th century, and we are in the 21st century, that in the 20th century alone, 260 million people have been killed by government in the 20th century. Governments alone have slaughtered 260 million people through either internal strife, revolution, or external war. Since 1990 and 1991, with the Gulf War, there have been estimates that in the Middle East alone, to this current day, 3 million people have lost their lives in the wars that have been fought in the Gulf, in all of those countries. If you look at television, you'll see trials where, a trial this week, a woman was strolling her baby. Someone walked up to rob her. She resisted, and the person took a gun and shot the 8-month-old baby in the head. When we look and see the injustice in this world, it is no wonder that the two-word prayer of the church should be, Lord, come. We read in Hebrews 11 that God has prepared a city for us. And one day that city will be here. And in the book of Isaiah, the prophet described the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the root of David, and what it will be like. And I want to look at that this morning, because Paul said this: when we do communion and we remember the Lord's death, you proclaim the Lord's death until He, Lord, come. That's what I couldn't help but think this week when we were on the brink of war with cruise missiles, with a possible response of nations to those cruise missiles, and what could have happened. I just kept thinking to myself, Lord, it's in your hands. Lord, come. Men are crazy. Gas attacks, threatened missile attacks. Lord, come. That's all we see in the news anymore, is war and killing and injustice and suffering. And in Isaiah chapter 11, the great prophet describes in Isaiah chapter 11 that kingdom that we proclaim through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. Do you remember in Matthew it said, he shall be called a Nazarene? That's where, more than likely, that prophecy of Matthew comes from. Because the word root in Hebrew is netzer. He shall be called a Nazarene. Netzarene. He is the coming king who will solve the injustice that is perpetrated throughout the world. And a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Verse 2 tells us why, that his government will do justice. There will be no perversion of justice. The rich will not be able to buy their way. The poor will be served with perfect justice. Because it says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. What spirit rests upon these leaders in our nations today? Can you tell me? Well, it says, the Bible says, who is the God of this world? And you can bet that all of these crazy leaders have a spirit on them, and the spirit of destruction and war and all of this that we've seen. But look what it says, that Jesus the Messiah will have the Holy Spirit upon Him. Because of that, there will be wisdom and understanding. Who launched the chemical weapons? They said this morning that they're sure that chemical weapons were launched. But guess what? No one knows who launched the chemical weapons. And there is good evidence for either view. What I don't want to see is further loss of people's lives through these kind of things. But Jesus, in His wisdom, He will know with true justice and wisdom who would perpetrate such a thing. And there will be perfect and instantaneous justice because of His wisdom and understanding through the Spirit. The Spirit of counsel and strength. Jesus will not ever waffle in His kingdom. He will never pronounce something and then not deliver what He has promised. He will have counsel and wisdom and strength. And when He on the throne says something, you know that there will be action. And He will never bluff, because of the fact that God's Spirit rests upon Him. And there will be in that great time a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You know what's lacking in this society today? No one fears God. You cannot, as a nation, perpetrate the murder of 55 million babies and have a fear of God. In Belgium, they have now voted that a baby born up to 3 years of age can be terminated by their parents if so desired. Planned Parenthood has advocated that very same thing. Up to 3 years of age, it's up to the parent. And by the way, for those of you who are advancing in age, Belgium also now says that it is up to a person after a certain age whether their life should be continued or whether they want their life to continue. And they can euthanize the infirm. When these things happen, it's because a society has lost its fear of God. How can you walk up to a woman, rob her, and then when she resists, take your gun and shoot her baby in the head? We've taught a nation through the psychological operation of the lie of evolution to believe that there is no God, there is no justice, there is no morality. Do whatever you want. Wrong and right don't exist. And we are reaping the whirlwind throughout the world while 260 million people in the 20th century alone were slaughtered by government. We live in an age in which there is no fear of God. But Jesus will put a healthy fear of God into that world. And He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Here it says the fear of the Lord is a delight. And He will not judge by what His eyes see. This is what I'm looking forward to. You know, when people come and meet people or come into a new place, do you know we all are programmed to look on the surface? If someone dresses unusually, I've seen kids, they love them, a mohawk. I've seen different dress. Well, you walk into some places with a mohawk and they're going to immediately think you're crazy. But if you were with Indians out in the West and you didn't have a mohawk, you'd be crazy. You see, let me say something. If you were the only person among headhunters that didn't hunt heads, what would you look like to them? Crazy. One of the hardest things for humans is differences among people. Have you ever been teased when you were a child? I was. My teeth were separated. I had years of orthodontistry and dentistry. You could drive a truck through my front teeth, and my dad didn't have the money, so he waited until the very last time to help me get my teeth done. And to this day, people will say, Pastor Dave, why don't you smile? Well, if you grew up being mercilessly teased, I'm not saying feel sorry for me, it toughened me in a way. Mercilessly teethed because of the gaps, teeth missing down here, teeth missing here, and the way you're teased for being different, you wouldn't smile either. But look what it says about the Messiah. When He looks at someone, He will know the heart. He will judge. Look, He will judge not by what His eyes see. Rich man comes into a congregation with a nice suit. What do you think everybody's going to do? Well, hello, how are you? Poor man comes in. Forget it. Poor man, in this country, you have the right to an attorney. Well, that's nice, but the ones they give you, if you can't afford one, are practicing law for the first time. And you're the guinea pig that they're using to learn law, but the other side has professionally trained prosecutors. Seasoned vets, or a rich person can buy the finest team of lawyers. That's why rich men very rarely go to jail, and only the poor. Poor can't afford those kind of lawyers. You say, but they're guilty, Pastor Dave. Well, you don't know that. Maybe their lawyers were guilty of malpractice and not being good lawyers. But you see, when it says when Jesus in that kingdom sees, it's not going to be an issue of the guy's dressed nicely. He's going to see that that nice dress hides a wicked heart. He's going to see that poor person that has been shafted in justice, and he's going to know he's innocent. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That the court system would have perfect justice. That when you go and appeal to City Hall, perfect justice would happen. No one will be defrauded. You know, they found out, and I'm thankful for DNA on death row, that they found out that there is a high percent of people on the death row that when they have taken, reopened the boxes for the crime, looked in the boxes and gotten DNA, you know what they found? Dollars to donuts more frequently than ever now? The person that's on death row, the DNA doesn't match. But you see, before that, how many people were killed based on a justice system that is not just? You see, if you haven't experienced injustice, you never know what that's like until you do. But your Savior will have a kingdom where He will not judge by what His eyes see, nor a decision by what His ears hear. That means this: rich people won't get away with it anymore, thank God. I look at all those rich, wealthy banksters. You know how you make money? You blow things up and then you give loans to build things back up. And guess who has the money to do it? The banksters. Jesus is going to look right through that heart. And the banksters will whisper in Jesus' ear. They probably won't have banks in that day. By the way, the only time your Savior got mad and made a whip was not with the prostitute, the sinner, or the worst scum. It was with the banksters in John chapter 2. They're going to whisper in Jesus' ear, "We'll give you a couple million, Joshua." And He'll go, "No. Perfect justice. He will not judge by what His ears hear." He'll know rumors. He'll know who did the chemical weapons. There will be no need to guess or perpetrate fraud on people. But with righteousness He will judge the poor. You know who gets shafted in this world? Always. If you're not poor, you won't understand this. But if you're poor, you'll know it's the poor that get shafted. It's the poor who have no means or resources. They found out that in Wall Street, the people that make the money are the insiders who trade inside, who have the information, and they're the wealthy that make more wealth. And the poor guy, every time they poor people get into the market ends up crashing and destroying the poor people. But the wealthy people have already gotten out because their friends whisper to them, "It's time to get out. We're going to crash the market." And He will decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And if there is something that goes not according to God's word, if there is wickedness, look at this. "And He will strike the earth with a rod of His mouth." And I believe that the strike the earth is going to be especially against the powerful and the rich that have perverted justice in this world. And there will be perfect justice. "And with the breath of His lips, He will slay the wicked." And guess what? Every one of them? It will be... This is why then I will be for the death penalty. When Jesus pronounces it, it will be perfectly right. He's got it. There's no doubt. And the DNA is absolutely 100% corroborative. We don't live in that world today, do we? "And righteousness will be the belt about His loins, and faithfulness the belt around His waist." And then He says something to me that I can't wait. It says this, a wolf will dwell with the lamb. You know what lambs do? They're gentle, stupid. They're just not swift. You know what the wolf does? It's cunning and smart, and it rips the wolf. It actually takes the lamb and eats it alive. But here it says when Jesus returns, that I don't like this. I can't watch animal shows where I was the guy that cried when Lassie got in trouble. Now I laugh. It's like a comedy to me. When you're little, you think it's real. And I just can't watch those animal shows where that leopard or that tiger gets the look in his eye, that cheetah, and you see that cold calculating, and he sees that zebra or that little animal, and he zeroes in, and he's got the power and the speed, and he chomps on his throat and rips him to... I can't take it. That's not entertainment for me. They have people that like to watch snuff films, I hear, where people are actually watching people being killed. That's not entertainment. But it says in Jesus' kingdom that the wolf... I want one of those. You ever seen one of those? A big dog. It will lie with the lamb. It'll be like my dog, Napoleon. He loved everybody. If a robber came to rob our house, Napoleon, when he was alive, would have helped the guy carry stuff out. I like that wolf. It won't be harmful anymore. It won't be tearing things apart. It won't be putting suffering on people. And the leopard will lay down with the kid. They're going to be vegetarians. Isn't that wonderful that there won't be that kind of suffering? I'm tired of seeing it. Since 1991, all we've witnessed on television is nothing but cruise missiles and suffering. Maranatha, Lord, come. And the calf and the young lion will, and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. You ever want a leopard for a pet? It's a little boy. He'll have his arm around the neck of the lion, and the lion will be licking him, and the fangs will be gone. And that hurtful nature that everything turned into at the fall, thorns, thistles, Jesus is going to reverse it, and you can go and have all of these animals that you'd be scared to death of, and they will be just like little doggies, like my little dogs at home. They'll jump on your lap and you'll get a loving from them. And the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child will play on the hole of a... I saw this one show where this guy was heard that there was a 20-foot cobra in India. Sure enough, he found it. You have never seen a cobra like that. And they spit. They take their fangs and they spray it. Can you imagine a 20-foot cobra? Even a super soaker couldn't get venom that far. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den, and this is what I love. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Why in the wide world could you be a Republican or a Democrat? I'm a Messianic Kingdom member. Because that's what I want to see. And Paul said this, every time we partake of the elements, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Maranatha, Lord, come.